This is a Limestone Coast Triple M podcast. Triple M, everything Limestone Coast.
Barney and Milo, boys, welcome along to Triple M Sport this morning.
It's getting closer and closer every day, you know. Every day we're going to see that football on our screens. We won't be seeing it in person, but we'll see it on our screens, and it'll be interstate, but it'll be in Australia where we're safe.
It certainly will be. I mean, it's the way it's going to go, and you do think it will take off?
Yeah, a lot of challenges ahead, a lot of hurdles, and sadly, as Barney knows, it's become a bit political, but there's reasons for that, and everyone's got their own situation and their own state to worry about, so we'll wait with interest. But we still live in a good place, Paulie, and obviously local sport's going to be a big thing. Earlier in the week, we heard Middersea Netball decided to cancel, so we might put a call in later to the President, Sarah Gray, and have a chat to her about that. But I think you got the big fella on the line.
I do, unless it's the wrong number, but I think I've got the one and only. Sounds like Ken Cunningham, KG.
Hello, Paul. G'day, boys. How are we?
Now, Ken, this state of South Australia is officially COVID-free. We've discharged our last patient. But the Victorians still have a few cases over there. So now is the time for us to build that wall on the border, keep those Victorians south of the border. And we've got to make them pay for the wall too. I'm not sure if that's an original idea or not, but...
But it'll do, I can tell you, that's for sure. No, look, we've done a remarkable job, and I saw the picture this morning of our last victim leaving hospital, and gee whiz, you've got to admire, Barney, you being a doctor yourself, what those people at the front line, doctors and nurses, and what they've committed themselves to do for our state's been absolutely unbelievable. And take a bow, South Australia.
Ken,
unbelievable.
Ken, miracles are usually a lot of hard work involved as
true.
Well.
Well, you would know that from a medical point of view, Barney, but goodness gracious, man. It makes you feel good. And look, you know, sport-wise now, things are suddenly starting to turn around for the Adelaide clubs. You know, it changes from day to day. I'm having trouble keeping up with it. I'm no Rhodes Scholar. I only went to grade 7 at Scott Park, but it changes from bloody day to day.
Yeah.
No hubs now. It would appear when the first month of programs are announced today that hopefully it'll be showdown. I'll be a part of it. So, you know, it's starting to look a little rosier for us, if you like.
18 sleeps, KG, not long. They're going to be a real flexible draw, and that's what it's all about in this day and age.
Yeah, Richmond v Collingwood on the Thursday night's the big tip, and showdown in round two. So, I can't. It'll be good.
And I really do support our South Australian government under Marshall and his team, who have actually stuck true to it and said, we support football, but we cannot have you two groups floating in and out of the state and stopping others. Once you leave here, you need to leave for the duration and then come back and follow the rules, because there is no playbook for this, and we're doing this. But I'll tell you what, at the end of this year... That hotel that they're building around the Adelaide Oval, which was a little controversial at the time, will pay dividends because we're going to bring the cricket here, we're going to put them in there, we're going to isolate them, and they're going to play to the rest of the world.
Wouldn't that be good to see a Boxing Day test match at the Adelaide Oval? Wouldn't that shove it up the Vic? Wouldn't that make front page?
Now, KG, dropping down a peg with a footy, and everyone has their own opinion. Port Adelaide have been picking there, or the Powers, to be the top 50. And we're going to find out the top five, and I suppose there'll be no real surprises. Now, what I want you and Cornsey to do, the one we're more interested in, is the Villains and Hard Men of Port Adelaide. What a team that'd be.
Well, I'll tell you what, you have a few front liners.
Dave Granger.
The list goes on.
Chicken Hayes.
Chicken Hayes. His duels with Bertie Johnson were a nightmare. Fair dinkum. Well, that was an absolute nightmare.
We've got a local connection, Graham Gill's dad, Dave. He was a hard nut.
Dave Gill's centre half back. Mark Kretschmann wasn't a
delicate.
He had a crack.
tell us, Ken, when you were an umpire and you're the sole umpire out there of the thing, how did you keep an eye on what Chicken Hayes was up to, you know, over your shoulder?
Well, because you'd study the form the night before, Barney. You'd say, now, look, here's Chicken Hayes on Bertie Johnson. Here's so-and-so, Dave Gill on so-and-so and so-and-so. And you would pay a little bit more attention. And as you'd run past those blokes, you'd say, now, listen, fellas, You know what goes here. If you break the rules, you're dead in the water. The choice is yours, and away we'd go.
And look, to be fair, Nord had a one or two. There was a guy up there called Pongo Sawley who was a great footballer. But tell us about Pongo.
Well, Pongo, I was reserve umpire the day of the state game when Pongo got knocked out. I'll never forget. I said to myself, it was a WA umpire. It was a wet, cold day right in front of the members there. And Pongo, well, I don't know what he did, but the bloke's gone boom and piffed him.
Pecky,
and I said to myself, don't you dare come off, umpire. I'm not going out there on this arena. It's too tough out there.
Well, I can tell you what happened because Robert Odie told me before he passed away a few years ago. And he said it wasn't the fact that he kicked him in the buttocks, which he didn't really. He just tapped him. It was what he said to him, which I won't repeat here on Breakfast Radio. And this guy was a butcher from Swan Reach, and no one calls a butcher from Swan Reach the thing that Pongo just called him, and he came up and he clocked him.
Oh, I tell you, that's one of the best hits I've seen on a footy ground, because Pongo unfortunately didn't move. Gee whiz, he was lucky to get away with it. That, look, those things happen in those days, and look, it needed to be brought back and under some control, but, oh, gee whiz. I think they've gone a bit too far the other way now, guys. But, you know, great talking about the old days. But the top five will put out, they will be in sync. Ebert will be number one without a shadow of a doubt.
Jack Cale?
Johnny Cale. Jeff Motley's got to be high there. Johnny Quinn. And Sean Burgoyne's the interesting one because when they were discussing Gavin Wanganeen, and they said, well, he took in the time he spent at Port Adelaide. Well, Sean spent a lot of time at Port Adelaide and a lot of time at Hawthorn. So that'll be interesting, but Ebert stands alone. Ebert, Motley, Johnny Quinn, Johnny Cale, absolutely.
And the one I've always liked is Bucky Cunningham. I've always liked Bucky.
He's in
there. Let me say this. I'll go on record as saying that I've been lucky enough to work with some fantastic people in my time in sport and in footy. But Brian Cunningham, I had the pleasure of calling footy with him, working on the 5DM Friday Night Footy Show, and he would have to be the nicest bloke I've ever had anything to do with in the world of footy, Brian Cunningham.
Yeah, we're with you there, Cage.
Well, every Saturday, Roy and HG proved that you don't have to play sport to talk about sport for 2 hours, and we're going to prove it again next weekend, next Friday. We'll talk to you then.
Good on you, boys. Have a good weekend. Stay warm, boys. It's cold down the southeast.
There you go.
Got that
right.
Thanks. Ewan for Breakfast, 6 a.m. weekdays on the Limestone Coast Triple M and always online at triplem.com.au.